My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. On my extreme left, John Amis. On my near left, Frank Muir. On my extreme right, Ian Wallace. Almost so near I can feel his breath on my piano lid, Dennis Norden. They are, in fact, all here. John, not the best known bit. Nevertheless, what is it, please? What is it?
It's that composer they call in Ireland D.V. O'Rourke. Dvorak. New World Symphony.
Yes, it's very...
But once I was at the Edinburgh Festival and they were all talking about... I wasn't there, unfortunately. But after the first movement, there was an old lady sitting in the front row and she shouted out, "Can you not play something cheery?"
Of all things.
I always wonder that more people don't shout at concerts.
Yeah. Mind,
please, I'm not encouraging you.
No, don't do that. Don't do that, no. It's the third movement from the New World Symphony, as John said. Frank, some battle music and then a question. Comes from the Agincourt music by Walton. But what I want to know, please, Frank, is who wrote this? I quote, "The martial music of drums, trumpets, and atabals. Experience has proved that such sounds, by quickening the circulation of the blood and spirits, will act on the human machine more forcibly than the eloquence of reason and honour." Isn't that lovely? Do you recognise the style?
It's Johnson or Gibbon.
It's Gibbon, actually. Okay. So can you guess which book it comes from?
Yes, The Decline and Fall of the Holban Empire.
That's right. That's right. It's from the Fall of Constantinople chapter, and it is indeed by Gibbon, yeah.
I once did an interview with...
Not with Gibbon.
With Laurence Olivier about William Walton, and he told me how he said he took Walton... he'd engaged him to do the music, but he hadn't written a note, and he took him to hear the rough cut of the film. It had the speech on it, but nothing else. And Walton listened to it, and he said, "Well, my boy," apparently he always called Olivier my boy, he said, "Well, my boy, it's pretty dull, isn't it? You're going to leave an awful lot of rather good music."
Exactly what it got, too, wasn't it?
Yes. One of the best scores in the biz.
Yes, that's right. Ian, some lovely music by Villa-Lobos. Mr. D.B. Gardner wrote to me from Preston to point out that a football fan such as you ought to be able to work out which two English football teams that composer supported.
Now, well, I suppose the first part sounds quite easy. Presumably it's Aston Villa.
Yes, Villa. Lobos.
Villa Lobos. Is that...
Aston Villa.
Could that be a wolf?
Yes. So...
Oh, well, Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yes, Villa Wolves. And Wolves. Yes, Villa Lobos.
And he could have also added that Villa was a great Argentine international who played for Spurs.
Yes, he could have added that, but didn't.
He didn't, no.
Now he will, perhaps. Yeah. For the benefit of those people who are thinking of writing to ask about that lovely music we just heard, it was Bacchianus Brasileiras No. 5 by Villa Lobos. You'll find him under V in the gramophone catalogue. Dennis, this is an early movie soundtrack song. It's the verse, but the verse of what? And who was the, I think, very able singer?
effect you cannot miss. And night and day, he's sure to stay.
Oh, isn't it infuriating? It I do. Goes it's on. It comes from a step. Lovely to look at. Yeah. It's Irene Dunne.
It's Irene Dunne singing, yeah, yes. Good singer. She was a good actress.
Yeah. Well, she was... She was in she was in the original, I think, the best Showboat. She was in the 1936 one. Yeah. And she did beautiful Folks Who Live on the Hill, originally in a film.
I hadn't remembered.
Yeah, in a film. Oh, High, yeah. Wide and Handsome.
Oh, yes.
Called
Randolph Scott.
Yes, yeah. Right. Mm.
John, the Times music critic in May 1885 wrote... A more inflated display of extravagance and noise has rarely been submitted to an audience. It was a pity to hear so magnificent an orchestra engaged in an almost fruitless attempt at accomplishing things which, even if really practicable, would lead to nothing. Can you have a guess at the work he was criticising?
Brahms Symphony?
Hmm?
A Brahms Symphony?
Now, it's a good guess for dates. I think you ought to have the mark for that. It was, in fact, the overture to Tannhäuser, with Wagner himself conducting.
Mm.
Which, perhaps an object lesson to people not to rush into print with criticism too early.
They all did, didn't they?
Yeah,
the most vilified composer ever in the history of music.
Wagner, when
he first came on.
Yeah, he was a lousy conductor, I believe.
Oh, yes.
So perhaps that had something to do with it.
You know, remember, you know this, John, at the Royal Albert Hall here, he came for a Wagner festival and had to make 4 starts on trying to conduct the opening of the Flying Dutchman overture. And eventually ran off the stage, and so somebody, Costa, had to come on and conduct it for him. Whether true or not, quite a story. Frank, your turn. Talking of conductors, with whom do you associate John Scott Trotter?
I don't know. But it's a wonderful... Yeah, it's a wonderful noise from the old radio, isn't it? Lady in Front. No, your years can't possibly remember.
With John Scott Trotter.
But you're saying Bing Crosby...
Yeah,
is it radio orchestra, isn't it, or something?
What's your name, madam?
John Scott.
What is your name?
Mrs. Trotter.
Anyway, give that lady a mark. It's John Scott Trotter. Conductor on many, many, or probably hundreds of Bing Crosby records. Ian, somewhat before your time, but you may know it, who was Bunch and who was his son?
Oh, I don't think he was before my time. Not as a boy, at any rate.
No.
Bunch was Bunch Keys.
Yes.
Nelson Keys,
yes.
Whom I saw as a boy, I remember, in a show called Folly to be Wise with Cicely Courtnage.
Oh, yeah. His son, by the way, do you know who his son?
John Paddy Carstairs,
that's right.
Quite a few of the Norman Wisdom films.
That's right, and wrote the biography of his father, Bunch, Nelson Keys, yes. Dennis, I asked Frank whose records he associated with John Scott Trotter. Let's try you with Vic Sherm.
Well, he was a kind of John Scott Trotter of the Andrews sisters.
That's right, exactly. Mm. Yes, he was. It used to be known as syncopated piano or novelty piano solos, like this one by Nacio Herb Brown. And so on. Doll dance, that was the doll dance. John, not the sort of music you most directly are concerned in, I think, but you might know it, or you might be able to guess the composer.
Carol Gibbon.
No.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean, he would play it.
Very much in period, but he wouldn't have been a composer to that extent, although he wrote some songs. I'll give you one that... I'll tell you what he wrote.
Billy Mayle.
He wrote...
Billy Mayle.
Sorry. That one, you know.
He's a lovely composer, actually.
Yes, Billy Mayle it was, yes.
Smashing.
Frank, still on this syncopated piano thing, I played this a lot when I was a member of Sid Phillips' band long ago. Yeah, let's see. So on. Do you know what that's called?
No. Hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre. Yes. Yes. Ian, I think you'll know this, and if you don't, I think Dennis will.
Temptation Rag.
That's right. It all comes back.
Oh, it does. Flooding back.
Dennis, another favourite from the Sid Phillips repertoire, but much less well-known than Hors d'oeuvre. I wonder if you can give this a title.
If he came after Hors d'oeuvre, it might be watercress soup or something. No.
you missed
play
that
it with Sid Phillips? That one?
Yes, that one too. It's called Struck Miss Lizzie. Struck Miss Lizzie. I'll tell you what we did do with Sid Phillips, and you can have half a mark for this.
You got to see Mama every night, or you don't see Mama at all.
Yeah, that's right. Give the man half a mark, yeah. Right, a folk song researcher has come across a bit of a mystery. He's found the first line of a song, but it needs a second line. Perhaps you can supply it. The first line reads, "One Sunday after supper, my wife, she said to me, di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-dee." We've been fortunate to secure the services of one of the truly great folk singers, Perkin Tate. And he's going to sing the first line for you. Just as a reminder, this is it.
One Sunday after supper, my wife, she said to me.
So we're going to have your suggestions for the follow-up line to that. John, you first. Come in when Mr. Tate stops.
One Sunday after supper, my wife, she said to me.
It's been such a funny full day.
Bucolic stuff, I think that was, yeah. Right, Frank, here's the line again.
One Sunday after supper, my wife, she said to me,
"Who wrote Handel's Messiah?" I said, "Don't look at me."
Ian.
Two me's, actually.
Right. Ian, it's your turn.
One Sunday after supper, my wife, she said to me,
"Now, listen, old cock, here's a bit of a shock. I'm expecting number three."
Well, and now for Dennis. Again, it's Perkin Tate's first line, and then, Dennis, your second line.
One Sunday after supper, my wife, she said to me,
"Let's paint the loo deep purple, to hell with burgundy."
I still got that bit of folk song scholarship sorted out once and for all. One way to find the particular track that you want on a long-playing record is to do what BBC people call spotting through. It's not recommended because it doesn't do the disc any good. Nevertheless, I've spotted through some songs by well-known popular singers. See if you can identify them from a mere, split second or so. John. I think the person is identifiable from those. Do you get it, Frank?
No.
Let's ask our operator if he'd kindly spool back through those three little bits and give us these three again. The song is from a song called "I'll Be Seeing You," not that that matters, but I think you'll know the singer the next time round. Here we go. You got it from the audience, didn't you?
Vera Lynn.
Yes, Vera Lynn it was.
It's a majority vote on that.
It was Dame Vera Lynn, yes. Frank, here's yours. Very, very easy, I thought that was.
You did, didn't you?
I did. I'll tell you why. I read the name on the label as it went round.
That's very dangerous.
Let's do the same again. Let's just ask if we could hear those once more. Those three, I think they're three, weren't there? It's from the last time I saw Paris, sung by... No, no. You notice I included a little bit of piano there, so he's the pianist as well.
Hutch. Very clever. Hutch.
Got it, yes, it was Hutch.
Good.
The audience is getting all the marks this time. Ian, here's one for you.
I think I get it on that
last one. That last one, that's right.
Gracie Field.
Yeah. Yes. Great fun making these ruining records. Dennis, yours.
Well, it's somebody at the piano, so another singer at the piano. It sounds like Frank doing his impression of Carol Gibbons.
Is it? No, nearly right. It was Carol Gibbons giving his impression of Frank. Right. John, four words from a song you know. In fact, you've sung it for us, though not perhaps this verse. You'll spread your wings. Comes from...
Well, I make a point of never listening to what I sing.
What a good
so
idea.
Do I.
What a good idea.
Spread your wings.
Didn't get it. It's from
Summertime.
It's from Summertime. And you'll spread your wings and take the sky. Yeah. Frank.
Living is what?
You want to go to war.
Oh, it's Alexandria's ragtime thing.
That's right, it is. Yes.
You want to go to war. That's it's right. The only lyric to a trumpet call, isn't it? Dennis and I wrote a lyric to a car.
You've got to get up. You've got to get up. You've got
to
get up. It's morning. No, it's not the only one. It's not the only one. No, but it's Anne. Yeah, it's Anne. Yeah. Yeah. Ian, the caddy.
Oh, yes. With the caddy. Da-da-dee-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. For my heart belongs to daddy.
That's right, yes. Thank you. Dennis, the right of way.
You've got to get it going, because right away.
Yeah.
It's a great day for the blues.
It's a good day, yes.
Great this opening number.
Heaven. Yes. This is the audience's moment to shout out the title. The title of the song that mentions brown paper packages.
It's a song called Tied Up With String. Yes.
Yeah.
Who bookends?
Oh, go on.
Come on, who bookends? And a world discovers my bookends. How to make true love. Lose a mark, corporate audience. Bonus for me.
A friend of mine living in Hemel Hempstead spotted a newspaper headline about a merchant navy trade union dispute. Question was whether or not there should be a poll on the subject of possible strike action. The headline read, compulsory ballet for seamen. Splendid thought, isn't it? Wonder if we can identify that compulsory ballet or a compulsory opera or a song for the members of that burly union. Seamen, sailors, seafarers, any offers, please?
Ballet. I think the music should be by one very famous composer who was in the Navy, in the Russian Navy, Rimsky-Korsakov.
Yes, he was a real sailor, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yes. Came here, part of his duties. Yes. And I suppose the music ought to be conducted by Sir Neville Mariner.
Oh, yes. Yes. How about Thomas Beecher?
Oh.
They've got
a flag, haven't they, the Seamen's Union? The Merchant Navy's got a flag, and they've got a song, presumably, to go with it, which is rather suitable for the Union, actually. Keep the red flag flying high.
Oh, yes.
They're good, isn't it?
Ian, any ideas?
If it was really compulsory ballet, presumably they were going to have some lessons, and I suppose there might have been a few, you know, those definitions, like they talk about entrechats and fouettés and things like that. So I just think... A pas de trois would have been three sailors doing the hornpipe. And they have this other expression, jeté. So a pas de trois jeté would be three sailors doing the hornpipe being thrown out the pub at closing time.
Off the pier.
Yes, off the jetty. Yes,
off the jetty.
Right, yeah.
I had a listener send me a misprint, which might meet this occasion, actually, because it was... for some kind of concert,
where, according to this program, they were going to play Ina Kleiner yacht music.
Four songs and a few bars of a fifth for my piano. First, though, Frank says you should see him dance the polka.
You should see me dance, Rebecca. You see me cover the grime. You see my coattails flying as I jump my partner around. When the band commences playing, then my feet start itching again. And the rollicking, rollicking polka is the joyous fun I know. You see my coattails flying when I jump my partner around. And the rollicking, romping polka is the second jolliest fun I know, eh? Ha ha, what?
It's Frank and me sharing a polka, but John's song is unaccompanied, Searching for Lamb.
Russ. As I went out one May morning betime, I met a maid from home had strayed just as the sun did shine. I'm going to feed my father's flocks, his young and tender lambs, that over hills and over dales lie waiting for their dams. Oh, stay, you handsome maid, and rest a moment here, for there is none but you alone that I do love so dear. For I am thine, and thou art mine, no man shall uncomfort thee. We'll join our hands in wedded bands, and a married we will be.
Even by Dennis's standards, this is a pretty old song, dating from maybe around about 1910. It's the song of an English boy who falls in love with a Scots girl and tries to live up to her exacting standards.
What's the use of a pair of kilts to me? Walking round with nothing below me knee. I try my best to please Selena, but what's the good of a pair of kilts when I'm a window clean?
Ian and I
make it easy for me.
No, it doesn't, no. Actually, Ian and I collaborate now, or rather alternate, with a minute or so's tribute to the English-born songwriter Ray Noble. First from me, a reminder of Goodnight, Sweetheart, and then from Ian, the very thought of you.
I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, And foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you. You'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
And so another edition of My Music goes to meet its maker. We have a final score for what it matters, a victory this week for Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkin.